Growing Young, Older. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, bringing this instant inspiration to you. Growing Young, Older. The world is changing. The world is changing, and many wonderful things are happening in the world. People are waking up to the fact that they can make statements, and these statements will bear fruit. These statements will be carried out in their life. These statements are reality. Sometimes they say, oh, just an affirmation. Just an affirmation that never brings reality, but we don't want to say that. We don't want to say just an affirmation. Any statement we make is not only just an affirmation, it is a very definite affirmation of what we are thinking about ourselves. It's a very definite condition of what we're saying about ourselves. Now, it's my pleasure and occasion to speak to a lot of elderly people. I have worked with them in nursing homes, I have worked with them in hospitals and many other places. I meet these elderly people, and they say, well, now I'm getting older, you know, and I can't quite do all the things I used to do. Shut up. Don't talk to me like that. Say, I am growing older and younger every year. I am 25 years old. They say, but I'm not 25. You are 25 years old. Say it. I am 25 years old. I am 25 years old. Say it again. I am 25 years old. Say it again. I am 25 years old. Say it again. I am 25 years old. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. You don't need to talk with the voice of the dying because you're not dying. Sure, you may be 70, 80, 90, 100. Doesn't matter. There are senators, U.S. senators, in their late 80s and early 90s. U.S. senators and congressmen. There's nothing slow about them. Their minds are so busy and so active. They're young. They're growing young. Now, I was reading an article here in the bottom line, and it said that the youth population is, for the first time in all the world, the youth population is less than it has been in all previous years. We ought to probably read that little item right there. Let's see. But age here. And it's quite interesting because it tells how what the world is doing, what the population is doing. And it points out that the youth population is getting much less. And find it there, will you? It says that there are fewer younger people in the world today than there are older people. There are more middle-aged and older people, people over 50 in the world today than there are 14 and under. Now, that has never been so since the Roman Empire, they say. And because of that, it's an indication that people are living longer. People are enjoying life longer. People are having experiences much longer in life. And it's quite beautiful. Now, let's get with it. We don't want a world filled with people who are of no value to themselves or to others. Now, here it is. Older people will become the dominant force. The fastest growing segment in our population is now age 50 plus, which is expected to soon displace people under age 14 for the first time in history. That's going to do it. This will change our notion about work, retirement, pensions. The focus of teaching will shift from educating the young to continually updating adult skills. That's quite important. And it points out in other third world countries that, but like in China, they require people just to have one child or maybe two, and they can't have any more. And if they have them more, they have to disappear. And you're killing your own children because you can't do that. And they don't have contraceptives. They don't have all these things to keep them from having children. And so the lives have to be aborted, which is quite sad. But, however, we're talking now about growing young, older. As we are older, we have learned all these psychological tricks of saying, I am youthful, I am 25 years old, I am happy, I am healthy, I am hearty, and I'm fantastic. Sylvie just gave a talk on I Am the Pure White Light of Love. And we surround our car with the pure white light of love, not to protect the car, just to surround the car with a joyous, wonderful, happy journey. And people say to me, have a safe journey. No, 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 no. You don't put that in my consciousness. There's nothing to be safe from. Have a joyous journey. Have a wonderful journey. Have a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, yeah, that too. No, no, not that too. That only. That only. And are you strong enough to stand up for that? Or are you some weak little nothing that lets people say things in your presence that you don't believe? Yes, many of us do that. We let people say things in our presence that we don't believe because we think that's being courteous to them. They're our peers, or they're our superiors, like our bosses or our elderly family friends or things like that. And they say things, we don't want to offend them. Offend them! Speak the truth about yourself. If it offends them, then maybe they want to be offended, because that's probably why they said it. They want to be corrected. Little children oftentimes say naughty words because they want to find out how far they can go and what things are acceptable and what things are not. And when a little child says a naughty word, you say to him, that's not an acceptable word in this family. And as far as we're concerned, that's not an acceptable word for our child to use anywhere. That's not an acceptable word that we use anywhere. And now, that's quite good. That's quite good. There's a woman in an article recently, and she referred to the fact that her dogs were pooping all over the yard, and the older child was supposed to pick up the dog poop. And she said, I can't say the word S, you know, I can't say the word S, shit, you know. She couldn't say the word shit because that was not an acceptable word. There's nothing wrong with the word shit. Shit has become a perfectly wonderful, meaningful word that means dog poo or whatever it means, and it's okay. It's only when you use it as a swear word or an uncomplimentary thing, well, you shit. You know, you can't say things like that. You have to say, you're wonderful, you're great, you're fantastic. Now, the words all take on, look at the word gay. One time it only meant for light, fantastic, joyous. Now it means the homosexual society. And both words are acceptable. Both uses are acceptable. But it's a strange thing how we treat ourselves. And now, that same thing, we're growing young, older. As we are growing older, we want to have a healthy body. Who wants to live in an old, decrepit body that aches and pains and creaks? There's a cartoon in the Saturday Evening Post, and they were walking by this room, and it said, the gymnasium. And out of the gymnasium was coming crack, snapple, pop, you know, and the one lady said to the other, that's the elderly doing their exercises, their yoga exercise. Snap, crackle, and pop, their joints were snap, crackling, and pop. And that's, we laugh, but that's not right. That's not right. We shouldn't even hear it. We shouldn't allow that thought to be, because you're elderly, your joints snap, crackle, and pop. I tell you, I know a lot of young people whose joints snap, crackle, and pop. Mm-hmm. They are doing push-ups or bends or something, and their joints crack and snap. And some kids just love to pull their fingers or snap their fingers to make them snap, crackle, and pop. And it's a silly thing to say that's aged. Now, another thing, and this bugs me to the pieces. An older person will lie down and take a nap. Oh, they're old. A baby will lie down and take a nap. Oh, they're a little baby. They're getting their sleep in. They're going to grow up and be big and strong. A young person lies down and take a nap. You must lie down and take a nap now because you have been so busy, you're so tired, you've had a busy day, and it's time for you to... Well, that's not the reason to take naps. You take a nap because you feel good when you're done. You take a nap because it's relaxing. And old people want naps just as much as young people want naps. And if we're going to equate naps with an aged person, we're stupid. We don't equate naps with a younger person because the younger person is aged. far from it. We always want to put labels on things. And another thing, this is one that is really fun. We say, as you get older, you are forgetful. The only reason you're forgetful is because you haven't kept an active mind. You haven't kept your mind interested in things and doing things. Now, there are times when I'm giving a talk and a word doesn't come to me. I got the word, it comes later, but I got the word and it doesn't come at that instant. And I think, oh my gosh. No, I don't think, oh my gosh. You may say, well, Herb, you know, you're 25 now. You know, you're getting to that age where you're forgetting things. No way. Don't ever put that label on me. I'm 25 and youthful. We all are 25 and youthful in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our ways of living. And never, 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 never are we going to have in our thoughts that we are decrepit, that our memory is going because we're old, and so forth. Our memory gets better every year. Gets better and better and better. And it is only a matter of what are we interested in. Now, why do children learn so fast? Because they're not afraid to try things. They're not afraid to fool around the computer and kill it and crash it and do all those things. Then they just restart it again or put in the software again. They say, hey, big deal, big deal. I'm learning something by it. I'm finding out what I can do and what I can't do. And this is what we all should do. Children like to try their bodies out. They like to go on the trapeze. They like to run. They like to jump. That all this sporting goods, all the sporting activity is just trying out your body, seeing what your limits are. And sometimes it's too much. And here they have an article that women who ride bicycles have problems. Ha, ha, ha. Well, why? Because they don't ride correctly. They don't ride correctly. They have new seats out for bicycles that are split seats that hold your butt together. You know, most seats it goes up in your butt and your butt gets spread apart and you don't have a comfortable seat and it bothers your pelvis and it bothers everything else. But if you have the proper seat, you don't have that problem. So you see, we have intelligence. We have intelligence. If you have a problem riding a bike and it bothers your butt or bothers something, well, get the seat off of a lawnmower. Get a seat off of something else. It's a great big seat. It just grabs your whole butt and you sit on there and you're all enclosed, you know? And it sounds silly. It sounds laughable, but you have the intelligence to do that. Now, but people will laugh at me if I take the seat off of my mower and put it on there. Who cares? Are you enjoying riding the bike? Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying going out and doing these things? Well, then, who cares? Now, you're going out to go jogging, and it's a cold morning. And when you jog, you sweat a lot and so forth. And so you put on sweat clothes and this clothes and that clothes and so forth and so on. And then when you're running, then you sweat a lot, and then the evaporation can't take place, and so your body gets messed up. Well, it doesn't have to. You should dress for jogging. They recommend certain type of clothing to wear for going out for a run and cold weather so that you can evaporate the moisture from your body and yet keep the heat in. And it's simple little things like that. Actually, if you were to run out there naked, you wouldn't feel any of the cold after a couple seconds because your body would be all heated up by your furnace and you'd be kept warm. All the clothing does is to keep the heat in. And when you don't have clothing, you're not worried about keeping the heat in or moisture. The moisture evaporates and the heat just stays right in and you keep as cozy, as snug as a bug in a rug. But we train ourselves to think that this is bad, that this is evil. We want to train ourselves to grow young, older. Every year that we add to our life, we are more dynamic, more youthful, more wonderful. Our minds are more brilliant. Everything about us. But we've got this old hang-up, the old habits, the old traditions, that when you get old, you get senile. Well, who's senile? A senile person is probably a person who has finally decided they're not going to be bothered by the world, and they're going to live in their own inner space. And because their own inner space doesn't correspond with what other people's outer space is, then you say they're senile. And a person who goes around and meditates all the time, you say, well, they're senile because they're not paying attention to the rest of the world. They're not watching the rest of the world and doing what the rest of the world says. And a person who is screaming their head off and screaming and screaming and screaming, you say, well, they're infantile. And it's the same as senile. And it's not true either. It's not true either. In a recent magazine article, there's a story about a woman who was teaching her family to be balanced, and her little daughter, started screaming a tantrum because she didn't want to wear dark trousers to school. She wanted to wear white trousers, and her mother said, no, they get dirty too quick. So she got down on the floor and screamed and stamped her feet and put on a tantrum. And the mother let her do this for a while, and then she went over to her and she says, now, isn't that about enough? And the daughter stopped, just like she wasn't doing it, and she looked at her mother and says, please let me finish. And then she went back for a full hour, screaming and tampering, and at the end of the hour, she went into her room, put on her dark trousers, and came out and went to school. Now, she had to do her thing. Now, I don't recommend that, because that's a lack of self-discipline. But the daughter had learned freedom to do anything you want from the mother, the license or liberty to do those things, and now the mother is paying the price. Oh. But that daughter is never going to learn self-discipline if it's allowed to continue doing things like that. Not that it's against society, but it's against the nature of the child. A dog who barks and barks and barks and barks, pretty soon it's so hoarse he can't bark. You want to train the dog not to be worried about what's going on in the world, to be balanced, to be harmonious, and bark when it's necessary, but not bark at every little scent or every little hearing that he has. Growing old, growing young, older. Growing young, older. Society is going to have people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s in the majority, and the hundreds, I'm sure, and more, as the years go on, maybe as early as 2030. And as this happens, we will no longer be able to put our older people out to pasture so that they die. We'll no longer be able to take their jobs away from them and retire them, because they will be excellent in their field. And the retirement age will perhaps not even exist. You will retire when you feel you want to retire, or when the company fires you or doesn't have any use for you. And only because you are not an active, vital member of the firm. And I think that's the reason people should be retired, when they're not an active, vital member of the firm. When they feel sick, when they are moping around, when they're not being an efficient worker in the company, then they should go, retire. But again, we want to learn to grow young, older. And the way we do that is not by making affirmations, but by making statements of truth. And if affirmations are statements of truth, great. If affirmations are just wishful thinking, then you've got the wrong name for affirmations as far as I'm concerned. But an affirmation is a statement of truth. It's a statement of reality. It's a statement of calling forth from the universal experiences that which we are. And I say, let's do it now, and let's do it by growing young, older, right now. I love you, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.